Really? You are a heartless clown. Go paint your face.
You are Locked On Fantasy Basketball, your daily podcast on fantasy basketball. Part of the Locked On Podcast Network. Your team, every day.
Hello, and welcome to the Locked On Fantasy Basketball podcast brought to you by Basketball Monster. My name is Josh Lloyd, and as always, you can find me on Twitter at @RedRock_Bball. The NBA is back. There is, of course, no shortage of drama right across the NBA. I'm going to cover the two games from Tuesday. I'm going to preview all 11 games for Wednesday and also talk about weird off-court shit that I need to go through as well. So,
let's get to it.
Let's get to it indeed, and before we get to the games, before we get to the nightly awards, I want to talk about a situation that that happened in Chicago.
Hello darkness, my old friend. I've come to talk with you again.
Yes, the Chicago Bulls, about an hour or so before the first game of the night, tipped off. Shams dropped a bomb Big Bob Portis and Nikola Mirotic had gotten into a punch-on. Well, I won't describe it as a punch-on because it was a verbal altercation, and then Bob Portis went the big king hit and smacked Nico in the face, breaking his... I can't think of the right word. Anyway, he broke the bones in his face, and that's not good. Two bones broken there, a concussion potentially for Mirotic, and weighing up the option of surgery. So what this does is a few things for the Bulls. Not only are they a complete shit show off the court in the front office, you know, selling the pick that became Jordan Bell for $3.5 million, making inane decisions in terms of trading with Jimmy Butler, in terms of making decisions like signing Wade and signing Rondo last season, and just being a complete clown show for the entirety of the post-Jordan era, pretty much, in Chicago. Not only did that happen, but now on the court, the players are fighting each other. They are punching each other in the head and breaking their face. Now, Mirotic was slated to be the starting power forward for this team. Bobby Portis was likely going to be out of the rotation. The word was that it was either going to be him or Cristiano Felizio that wouldn't make the final rotation for this team. I thought it would be Portis because, as you know, I don't think he's very good. He's obviously rocketed right at the top of my shit bloke rankings after this attack on Mirotic. You don't just throw a one-punch hit onto a bloke in his face. Look, I don't know the full story, but it's a shit bloke thing to do. Maybe something will come out that will exonerate Portis, but it is pretty shit. He's going to get suspended. There is zero doubt about that. There is a clause in the CBA that he can be cut by the Bulls based on this, and I don't think that then his salary counts against the cap. If violence against teammates means that he can just be cut outright. So there is a possibility of that. I'm not sure the Bulls will go down that way because they are a bunch of gutless, spineless pricks, much like Bob Portis at this point. So he's gonna serve a lengthy suspension. We can rule that out. So people are saying, do I add Bob Portis after this? No, you absolutely do not. Even on moral grounds, you don't do it. But he's just not going to play. Mirotic is going to be out. The word is 6 weeks. I think that we might stretch into 2 months, would be my guess, with this facial issue. He's not going to be able to eat with a broken face, as he's got to think there might be some cracks in his jaw. He won't be able to eat. So, it's a maxillary fracture. That's the word I was looking for, a maxillary fracture. So he's not going to be able to eat. He's going to lose weight. Remember, he lost a ton of weight when he had that appendix surgery a couple of years ago. He's going to lose all that, lose energy. Obviously, can't play because of the surgery. So he's going to be out for a couple of months, Mirotic. So with Mirotic, you can drop him in most formats, daily changes formats, obviously IR, you can stash him, Roto, you can stash him, weekly leagues, you can stash him. But I fear that this injury is going to obviously allow Lauri Markkanen to move into the starting lineup. And if Markkanen plays well, then Mirotic just won't get that job back, I don't believe. So I think Mirotic can be dropped in all those situations. He had a great opportunity this season, and now it's been broken by Bobby Portis's probably right hand, I would guess, straight into his mouth. So Mirotic can be dropped in most situations. The winner here, of course, is Markkanen, who is going to have to see big minutes right off the bat. Now, he's not an absolute 100% lock to start, because the Bulls can shift Big Paulie Zipser down to play power forward and chuck Denzel Valentine in as the small forward. That is the real option there. They can go with a Valentine Zipser front court, or they can go with a Zipser Markkanen at the 3-4 combination. But regardless, Lowry is going to have to play a lot of minutes. I think it also bumps Robin Lopez up. It bumps Cristiano Felizio up as well, because we won't have Bob Portis or Markkanen playing those backup center minutes as much as what we would have thought before, because that would have been an option to see Portis in there, to see Markkanen in there, to make sure those guys all got their minutes. But with Mirotić and Portis not in consideration for the rotation at this point, we're going to see more Felicia, more Lopez, big minutes for Markkanen, big minutes for Zipsa, an increase for Justin Holiday, an increase for Denzel Valentine, and an increase for David Nwaba. In my opinion, they're all the things that are going to be happening there. So Markkanen's the clear add. Yeah, Justin Holiday should already be added. I think Denzel is an interesting flyer type in maybe a deeper 12s or a 14-team league. I'd be looking at him getting those extra minutes. And Paulie Zipsa, not a big producer of stats, but the minutes are going to come. So 14-teamers, you do want to have a look at Paul Zipsa to see how that all goes down. But again, Bob Portis, he's not quite number one in the shipbloke rankings, but he's battling a couple of other, or at least one former Bull, on that list for number one there, and that is a dog act. But we will see exactly, you know, any more information that comes out. But at this point, Mirotić, 2 months, I would guess. Portis, a lengthy suspension, I would expect. This is a complete guess. I would expect a month at least for Portis' suspension if he doesn't get his ass thrown off the team, which is a huge possibility. We will watch that and see how it all pans out, of course. So that's that news. I'm going to talk about the other massive news of the day as we break down these games. But let's talk about we're back to the regular season, back to the staple of how all this goes down. And let's talk about the monstrous line of the night. And if anyone had told me or told you that the monstrous line of the night was going to be Uncle P, Nick Young, you would have told him to FRO. Because there is no way you could have thought that Nick Young would have been the monstrous line of the night. He had 23 points. He hit 6 triples. He did his standard Nick Young. And when I was calling Kyle Kuzma Nick Young, the reason I was calling Kyle Kuzma Nick Young is because he was putting up nothing in rebounds, assists, steals, and blocks. They're not the same player. They're not the same guy. None of that stuff. And Nick Young showed us why Nick Young is Nick Young. 23 points, 2 rebounds, 0 assists, 0 steals, 0 blocks. He went to the line once, but he was a blistering 8 of 9 from the field, which is obviously sensational. Now, there's always overreactions at this point of the year. There's craziness getting thrown around. So I'm getting do we add Nick Young? The answer is no. We know he's still going to be a backup here. Andre Iguodala was out in this game. So when Iguodala comes back, Young's not going to be playing that many minutes. And I can absolutely 100% guarantee you he is not going to shoot 89% from the field for the season. You can write that down. Write it in pen. You can tattoo it on your body if you like. He will not shoot 89% for this season. So he won't hit 6 threes a game. He won't hit that sort of field goal percentage. And as you can see, he does nothing in the other area. So as I said, pretty much as soon as he was signed by the Warriors, he is an elite 3-point streaming option. He can give you those 2 threes a game pretty comfortably. Maybe 12 points, maybe, but not much else. So yeah, factor that in. Look at him as a deeper league guy. Look at him as a stream guy, interesting stream guy for today, obviously, but not a player that you want to deal with in 12-team leagues on the regular. I think you have to make that move to hold on to him. Of course, he is the waiver wire line of the night with a 7% ownership over on Yahoo as well. Let's go to the young gun of the night, because this is probably more interesting, and that is Jason Tatum of the Boston Celtics. For those of you who are new to this show, the young gun of the night is the player in his first or second season in the NBA who puts up the best fantasy line. Many people have begun, Josh, what about Jalen? We'll talk about Jalen in a second, but Jason Tatum actually finished with a higher fantasy rank on the day. He scored 14 points in his NBA debut, had 10 boards, he hit a 3, had 3 assists, he was 5 of 11 from the field and 3 of 3 from the free throw line, so he gets my nod as the young gun of the night, and he's worth a pickup. I think that he has got a real chance to be close to a top 100 player this season, with Gordon Hayward now out for what looks like the season. There's a couple of ways the Celtics can go. We have to remember that Marcus Morris was out of this game, and Gordon Hayward played only 5 minutes, but I think that we might see a Jaylen Brown at the 2, Jason Tatum at the 3, Marcus Morris at the 4 starting lineup, with Marcus Smart playing his 33 or so off the bench, and Terry Rozier getting a bump there, which again I'll talk about later. So even if Tatum doesn't start, if they move him to the bench and shift Jaylen to the 3 and start Marcus Smart at the 2, which is what they did in the second half today, but again, remember there was no Marcus Morris, yeah, then Tatum's still going to get his minutes off the bench, and I do really like him as an add. There aren't going to be too many situations early in the season where a massive, massive part of the rotation goes down for the year like Hayward did. So spending a big chunk of your fab either on Jason Tatum or Jaylen Brown, I think, is a fine thing to do. Guys who do have that top 100 potential, I don't think they've got top 50 potential, as some people are mentioning, But they do have nice top 100 numbers. You know, Tatum looked a little bit shaky early on, but the rebounds were really nice. He has some good numbers there for him, and I think he should be, you know, happy as a Boston fan and look at him as a fantasy ad as well. I would be okay spending a 30-35% of my fab budget. It depends on how deep your league is. If it's a 16-team league and he's somehow around, then go with 60% if you need to. If it's a 10-team league, go a bit lower because there will be other good waiver wire options out there. They are all the things that play a part in that fab decision making. There's no set formula. There's a lot of different things you need to pay attention to. The dud of the night, we're talking about, again, if you're new to this podcast, a player who is owned in over 70% of leagues, who was the shittest on the day. And of course, that goes to Dwayne Wade of the Cleveland Cavaliers. Wade had 8 points. He had one rebound, three assists and a block. He was 3 of 10 from the field. He was 2 of 2 from the line. Of course, he didn't hit any threes. He was putrid on defense. And really, who could have seen that coming apart from absolutely everybody? That Cavs backcourt, I know they won. They only won by 3, though, against Gordon Haywood-less Boston Celtics. The backcourt looked terrible. The shot distribution was poor. J.R. Smith is the better option at shooting guard. I've said that many times, and I'll continue to say that. I don't know if Tyronn Lue will make that change, but one thing he has to do is not allow Wade and Rose to shoot as many times as they did, especially when Kevin Love is just chilling in the corner to let these inefficient guard chuckers just throw it up. Is bad coaching and bad man management. It's really tough to own Wade, I think, in standard leagues because of the fact that he's going to be shit, he's going to be limited, and he's going to have rest games, and all those things add up to a guy that you're probably better off finding other players on the wire, cycling them in, streaming them in, than holding on to Wade for the season. I just don't see that as a fantastic option for him. But he is your dud of the night on this, what is the first day of the NBA season. Let's move now to have a look at all of these games. And by all of them, I mean all 2 of them, and talk about what went down. Kyrie dished 10 assists in that first Boston-Cleveland game. I thought that was good from him. 22 points on 17 shots. Really standard Kyrie. I would have liked him to get to the line more, but the assists are a nice surprise, as were the steals. I wouldn't be expecting that every game. And the guy that everyone wants to talk about is Jaylen Brown, of course. He played 40 minutes. He jacked up 23 shots. He had a usage of 29%. I think there is zero chance of him putting up 29% usage on a regular basis. I think there is 0% chance of him shooting 48% on 23 shots on a regular basis. Now, he scored 25 points. He was aggressive. He had 2 threes, 6 boards, and 3 steals. And maybe the steals can get to that level. But I just don't think he's going to be that large a part of the offense, especially when Al Horford takes just 7 shots. I just can't see Brown being a guy taking 23. Now, in saying that, he's definitely worth an add, but there's some really, really high hopes here on Jaylen Brown putting up some good numbers, and I'm not 100% on board with those. I don't think people throwing out top 40, top 50 numbers. I just don't think he gets to that. But if you own Jaylen Brown, send a trade offer out. This is when the dumbest trades go down in these first 2 weeks of the season. Try and get Aaron Gordon. Try and get Victor Oladipo. Try and get Brook Lopez. Try and get Al Horford. Try and get any of these guys in that top 50. I think that would be a great return. Now, I wouldn't be necessarily throwing him out there and trying to get 2 top 80 guys, because there's a chance he's a top 70 guy. That's a possibility. But I think a top 40, top 50 guy, if you can get one of those players back, that's a move that I would do with Jaylen Brown based on this hype. People are really, really keen. They see 25 points, and obviously that's fantastic. But just many of those things I don't look at them and go, that's happening, especially considering how good or how well he shot on 2-pointers, because he was 2 of 9 on threes. 2 of 9. That means that the rest of his shots, he was 9 of 14 from 2-point land, and that's a very, very high percentage, something that's unlikely to continue at that sort of a level. He had 0 assists. He does still struggle with his handle, and with the extra offensive responsibility, he's not going to be able to shoot at that level of efficiency, I don't believe, as we move forward. So grab him by all means, but don't go overboard, and don't be afraid to deal him. If you can get some top 40 or top 50 value back, I'd be very, very comfortable in doing something like that. Marcus Smart shot the ball horrendously early on. I think he was 0 of 9. Ended up scoring 12 points entirely in the third quarter. Had 9 boards, 3 assists, 2 steals, 2 blocks. If you punt field goal percentage, that is an absolutely brilliant line, and that's what he can do. I think he will shoot better at times. I also don't think he'll take 16 attempts per game. He should not be on your wire anywhere. Again, if you could be really strong in field goal percentage and you can absorb him, or you're just below average there and you just piss it off and you add him because his numbers are going to be good. Terry Rozier also played 20 minutes here. His value was inflated by the 3 steals. I think 19 to 20 minutes is a fair estimation of what he can do, but he's not a standard league sort of target to me, in my opinion. Al Horford also struggled with his shot, just 2 of 7 for 9, 7 and 5 there. The 5 assists are nice, 7 rebounds, 1 block, good numbers. I wouldn't be too worried there about Horford. Of course, we'll talk about Gordon Hayward. I don't think we're going to see him again this season, a fractured tibia and a dislocated ankle. You hear reports, oh, it's a clean break, that's great. Yeah, it's great, but it's also not great. His ankle was legitimately at 90 degrees, and yes, the bone broke cleanly, but those ligaments are stretched to the shithouse. They are going to need surgery on those ligaments at some point, I would assume, because they were stretched so far. If he comes back, maybe it's in March. I wouldn't be expecting anything earlier than that. And if you don't have an IR spot, drop him. Yeah, you can't hold on to someone. I know how good he is. You can't hold on to someone. It's not going to be a six-week fractured leg that we saw Clint Capela return from last season. This is a significant injury that involved ankle dislocation and a really, really bad break to his leg. It looked horrible. And just on that, I tweeted out that he had a broken leg as soon as it happened because it was a shocking incident. Obviously, in a few minutes after that, I said, go and add Jaylen Brown and Jason Tatum on Twitter. And some people had a real issue with me tweeting that. Oh, that's really insensitive. I've lost respect for you now, Josh. Why couldn't you wait hours? You're a bum. Who wants to hear your bum ass opinion on this? Like, to be honest, it's my job. Like, when this happens, which is why people follow me, I assume. I assume it's not for my, takes on food. You follow me for fantasy basketball information. So getting to those guys early is important. It's got nothing to do with me being insensitive. Everyone knows that I'm extremely sensitive to injuries. I defend players who get injured more than probably anyone that you would listen to or see. I defend these guys all the time, and it is absolutely shitful for Gordon Hayward. It is terrible for his family. It is terrible for the Boston Celtics, and you feel for him. But if we're going to be realistic, the bloke didn't die. He's not in a life-threatening situation. He's not in a career-threatening situation. He broke his leg. It looked horrible. Everyone was shocked by it. It looked bad. But I had to put that information out there. There's no insensitivity. People are saying, oh, you shouldn't have tweeted out what, you shouldn't have written fantasy picks. You should have been praying for him. Like, seriously? Really? That's what I should have been doing. Like, oh, you should have waited at least 3 hours to put it out there. Like, why? And I know most of you listen to this podcast. Look, maybe some of you have got an issue with me tweeting to add Brown and Tatum. It's got nothing to do with me being insensitive. It's to do with me doing my job. And I apologize if it appears insensitive, but you should know me by now that it's not insensitive. I have utmost respect for these athletes and what they do and their bodies. And, I feel terribly for Hayward. But me sitting there and praying for 3 hours that he's going to recover from a broken leg does nothing to help the people who actually follow me and had already asked the questions, what do we do in terms of ads here? So I put it out there. So again, if people were offended, I apologize, but I don't apologize for doing it because it's what I needed to do. And I needed to say that because it really bothered me today that people were having a go at me because I wasn't praying for his broken leg. Again, the dude didn't die. He had a broken leg and it's terrible and I'm sure it's really bad for him and his family and all Celtics fans. But I had to get the fantasy advice out there. Simple as that. We had Semi Ojeleye appear in the first quarter in this game and then didn't really appear after that. He might see an extra bump in minutes. I don't know if it's going to be him or Gershon Yabesele who was out of this one, but they're not going to have significantly large enough roles to be impactful, especially when Marcus Morris returns. On the Cavs, LeBron was ridiculous, 29, 16, and 9 with 2 blocks in 41 minutes, recovering from that ankle. He said he was out of shape. Cool. Yeah, no worries, mate. 35 minutes for Jay Crowder, a solid night, nothing too spectacular though, 11 and 5 with 2 steals, but the minutes is what's interesting, and I really hated the fact that Kevin Love saw just 28 while Tristan Thompson saw 20 minutes, pretty much an even split, well not pretty much, exactly an even split between those guys at center. You're not playing any Love minutes at power forward, and maybe that's a factor of the opposition with the Celtics being really small and playing Jason Tatum at the four. Let's see how that goes in other games. But the fact that Kevin Love took 9 shots, Dwayne Wade took 10, and Derrick Rose took 14 is disgusting. Love still had 15 and 11, didn't have any other numbers, but he was still pretty impressive, including a great behind-the-back pass. But that shot distribution, Lou needs to fix it because Wade and Rose is a terrible, terrible backcourt, and they shouldn't be taking 24 shots combined, whereas Love is just taking 9 on his own. J.R. Smith, again, a better option than Wade. 10 points in 22 minutes, but not a standard league guy. While Shumpert got the call over Kyle Korver, 13 minutes. For Iman, while Korver just the 7 minutes, and Jeff Green.
My name is Jeff.
Apparently, and I didn't see this personally, but apparently people on the internet were saying that Jeff Green is good and is looking good. No, he had 6 points in 14 minutes, and he is a very, very, very deep league sort of consideration. As for Rose, I didn't really talk about him. This is just what he does. 14, 4, and 2. It's fine. There's definitely not top 50 upside. There's not top 100 upside, barely, I don't think, while Isaiah is out. So you can use him, but you shouldn't get excited about him. That's as much as I'm going to say about Big Dezza. The Rockets and the Warriors, massive, massive win for the Rockets here at the end. It really did change around when Draymond Green went out with his knee injury. Let's start with Chris Paul, who was definitely bothered by his knee injury, hobbling around. Mike D'Antoni pulled him at the end of the game. Yeah, down the stretch, he was sitting in because he was limping around on that bruised knee. He only scored 4 points, but he did have 8 rebounds. He had 11 assists, 2 steals, and a block. And I know many people are going to panic about that. He doesn't fit with James Harden. What are we going to do? He scored only 4 points. But again, I'll remind you, it is the first game of the season. This shit changes. Chris Paul is a very, very, very smart bloke. He will figure it out. He might not score 20 points a game. He might score 17 points a game. But he had 11 assists. Harden had 10 assists. And that's something that I think can happen very, very often for this team. Also, I don't think Eric Gordon's going to be as crazy, ridiculous, and efficient as he was, and he was getting fed the ball quite a bit. So I'm not panicking about Chris Paul, but the Chris Paul owner might be. So throw a fourth-round guy at him. See if you can get him. You might not be able to. Throw who could we look at in that zone? Throw Dennis Schroeder at Chris Paul owner. Go, Chris Paul, 4 points in the first game, mate. Can't work with Harden. Didn't you see the guys on Inside the NBA? They were talking about it. They don't think he's going to fit. And you might be able to convince someone to give you that, you know, Chris Paul in exchange for Dennis Schroeder. And I like Schroeder. You might be able to convince you to do it for D'Angelo Russell. And I like Russell. But I still take Paul in every situation there. Now, I'm not saying there's no level of concern with Chris Paul, because there is an element of it. But he had 8 rebounds, 11 assists, 2 steals, and a block. If he goes his usual efficiency and has 5 of 9 instead of 2 of 9, and he takes, you know, or he hits at least one of his threes, like he was, you know, 0 of 4 of 3, say he goes 2 of 4 from 3 and adds those extra points, and then he's at maybe he gets to 10, 8, and 11, or 11, 8, and 11 with 2 steals and a block, and you go, I'm okay with that. And then there'll be nights where he takes 12 shots or 13 shots and he scores 17, 8, and 11. And they're all right. So I'm not panicking after one game. Eric Gordon looked great, 24-1-1. He had 2 blocks and a steal. Yeah, ridiculously efficient. I don't think that's going to continue. The other thing we need to talk about with the Rockets is the center situation. Just 18 minutes to Clint Capela. He was still good. 12-4 with a steal and a block. Still put up the numbers. But I think the fact that he saw so few minutes, even with Nene out, is definitely a factor of the opposition. The Rockets play again on Wednesday against the Sacramento Kings, a team that's going to go big with Willie Cauley-Stein and potentially Zach Randolph, Kostakoufos, Galabissiere. I think you'll see more out of Capela. You won't see 29 minutes necessarily out of PJ Tucker, and you won't see 33 minutes out of Ryan Anderson, who had 13-8 with 3 triples, a steal, and a block. A very good night from Anderson, but it will be quite matchup dependent. Tucker was good, 20 points, 6 rebounds, 4 threes. He can have some value at the end of your roster, but and we're not expecting 67% shooting. We're not expecting 20 points and 4 triples. So all that's going to drop. It was definitely a situational area. They're going to play him at center. They're going to play Luke Marmute, who had 14 and 4 in his 23 points. But I think that this is probably high level for where they're going to be. I don't see them being there. And those minutes for Capela are probably at the low end. Interestingly enough, without Nene, who they announced halfway through the game was resting, and this one that would have been nice to know beforehand. You know, Tariq Black didn't get into the game at all, so they were more than happy running Tucker and Anderson as their backup centers, or, you know, playing a lot of those minutes at the center position. But Tucker's one to watch, but his upside is really limited. I don't think that he is a high priority guy to go and add. On the Warriors, Durant, 25-7 with 4 blocks. That's cool. He's good. Draymond had 9, 11, and 13, but he did exit with a knee strain. Didn't play the entire fourth quarter. He says he's fine. We'll check his status for the next game, but everything should be okay there. I imagine if he misses, you're going to see Big Jordan Bell get some minutes, who played 12 minutes in this one ahead of JaVale McGee, which was somewhat of a surprise. Steve Kerr did say it was a matchup-based thing. So against bigger teams, I think you'll see more McGee than you will Jordan Bell. So he's not going to be an every-night guy, but he's really, really good. Steph had 22, 5, and 4. He was good as well, while Klay had 16 and 3 with a really good defensive night, 2 steals and 2 blocks for Klay Thompson. The Warriors ran a 12-man rotation. Kerr had 11 guys in the first quarter. That's going to be an issue throughout the season, but it didn't affect their big guys necessarily. Steph was limited by foul trouble. He only played the 30 minutes, but Durant had 38, Thompson had 38, and Draymond had 28 before the fourth quarter had even started, with all their other guys like McCaw and Livingston and West and, you know, Caspi and Looney playing the limited minutes here on this team. And of course, we must remember that Andre Iguodala was out and not playing. All right, that does it. That's the games covered for Tuesday. Again, if you have specific questions, now I apologize. If I didn't get back to you with questions today, literally the amount, I reckon I would have got 200 notifications today on Twitter at least. So I apologize if I didn't get back to you because I've got to work. Obviously, I've got to do Basketball Monster updates and change the stuff over there. So I just can't answer everyone's questions, but I do attempt to do it as much as I can. So I do apologize if I didn't get to your tweets, if you did ask me them today. We're going to now take a quick little break, and I'm going to be back, and I'm going to talk about the action in DFS for tomorrow, which is a whopping 11 games. All right, we're back. We're going to talk DFS now. I hope you guys were successful at playing DFS today with only those two games on. Again, you do have to be a little bit cautious, and things like the Gordon Hayward injury can really throw you for a loop. But I think the people that played FanDuel especially would have had a decent level of success. With the new FanDuel scoring, I think you're going to see higher scoring. So, 300 is not a decent benchmark. I think you're looking at 320s now as more reasonable cash lines. And on Wednesday, you're going to have scores that push into the 400s really easily. Cash line, I reckon, will be close to 400 in GPPs. Might even push 350, 360 in cash games, given there's just value all over the place. DraftKings, the pricing is much more aggressive, and it's going to be harder to get those high scores. FanDuel, and for the Aussies, DraftStars and Moneyball, there is value just littered all over the place. You can get it from anywhere. You can put up the amount of cheap, almost minimum salary guys is crazy. That's another thing on FanDuel as well, is that their minimum used to be $3,500 and now it's down to $3,000. So there is much more value appearing on FanDuel. It is crazy the amount of value that is appearing over there. Let's have a look now at the perfect DFS lineup on both FanDuel and DraftKings from Tuesday's game. On FanDuel, Kyrie had 48.8, Marcus Smart 37.3, Jaylen Brown 35.2, and Clay had 38.7. LeBron went for 63.7, PJ Tucker at 29.2, Draymond 42.7, Ryan Anderson 30.1, and Al Horford at 27.9 for a total of 353.6, and that cost $58,500. The DraftKings perfect lineup was a weird one, given the way that their pricing was structured as well. It was strange. Kyrie had 50.5, Jim Harden had 53.5, and Gordon Hayward actually snuck in there because it was just cash left over. He had only 3 points, but he was in that perfect lineup somehow. Ryan Anderson, 30, Al Horford, 27.25, and Dave West at 6.75 snuck in, and then we rounded it out with Clay at 37.5 and Eric Gordon at 31.75 for a total of 240.5, and that cost $49,000. Dollars. I'm thinking about it. I'm a little bit skeptical that was the best lineup for the day, so I'm going to double check that. But it was when I was checking it earlier on. It does seem a little bit weird to have Gordon Hayward appear in that. I'm looking at it again, and no, that is the perfect lineup. So that is definitely a weird setup for that situation. So that's the way that it all panned out. Again, not really sure why that. I'm not sure. It's because their pricing was just so much more aggressive than on FanDuel, and the prices were so much higher that it was harder to get that value in there over on DraftKings. So as I said, we're going to take a look at these 11 games on Wednesday and try and get some value out of it. It's not going to be hard to do. There is value all over the place in these games. We'll start with the Brooklyn Nets and the Indiana Pacers, and there is value literally out the wazoo for this one. We have got the Pacers favored by 3.5 and a very, very nice total, 214, which is the third highest total of the night. Injury-wise, we have got Ike Anabogu is questionable. That doesn't really impact us too much, and everyone else is ready to go. So that's some pretty good news there. Of course, Glenn Robinson III is out for the Pacers, but we're already aware of that. When we want to talk point guards in this one, it's going to be Jeremy Lin, who is priced at $5,300 on FanDuel. I do really like that price. I think there's a ton of value there. He's not necessarily one of the best point guards on the board, but at $5,300, it is really tough to go past. Again, if he gets 30 points, I think you're looking at a really good situation there for him, and he's got that ability. He finished last season here scoring 45 a game, so he can clearly go above that. The other guy we look at here is Darren Collison on the Pacers, and he's actually cheaper, $4,900 for Colo. And he's got that opportunity to put up some decent numbers there also. I don't know if he's got the upside of what Lin does. But I think in a cash game, you can look at Collison and you can have a fair degree of confidence that he's going to break, you know, 5.5x value at that sort of a price. Corey Joseph, the other guy, 4,000, not much for me to like about him there. Shooting guard, I love Lance Stephenson here. 3,300 is a stupid low price for a guy that's going to be seeing, you know, close to starters minutes with Glenn Robinson the third out. You have to love Lance at that price. Him getting 20 points feels like an absolute lock. I love getting him in there at that salary. While Oladipo at 6,100, I have a decent degree of confidence that he's going to smash through 30 points also. There's probably some other guys out there, but if you're looking to spend up a bit and get that 35, 40 point ceiling, which I think, your ceiling's probably 50, but 40 is a reasonable expectation in a certain number of outcomes for Oladipo. I think you look at him as a really good option as well. D'Angelo Russell, I'm big on Russell, but at 6,600, there are much better options on the board. But he's one of those guys that could drop a 55 or a 60 pretty comfortably, so that puts him in the GPP conversation. Whereas Caris LeVert, yeah, I love him. I like him as a player, but I just don't think that at 4,200 he is falling into that good category. Bojan Bogdanović, 3,300, one of the small forwards, another cheap price guy who's going to have to play in excess of 25 minutes. He's probably more of a tournament guy because we know he can be flaky, but at 3,300, what does he have to do? Get 17 points? That shouldn't be too hard, but he is a Nick Young type of character who does nothing apart from points and threes, so that does limit him somewhat. But in a game that's high-paced against a Nets team that pushes the pace, it's a really good option. I also don't mind Damari Carroll at 4,000, who's looked rejuvenated in preseason, playing under his former coach, Kenny Atkinson at 4,000, I like him, but more as a GPP sort of a guy. While the blue swimmer, Alan Crabb at 4,200, he's going to have to do more than what he did in Portland, but he's got that opportunity here. I just think that maybe he gets a little bit limited with Carroll playing well and him missing a bit of that time in preseason. And I don't even look at the blue swimmer as a tournament player. Power forward, Thaddeus Young, 5,300. I can't really envisage a situation that he doesn't get to that number, so I think that he is strong with limited upside, but strong. While Rondé Hollis-Jefferson at 52, I would much rather take Thad for the extra $100, but Rondé does have some upside. He's just more of a tournament guy, and I don't feel totally strongly about him. You got Domantas Sabonis at almost minimum at 3,100, who had some moments in the preseason, so if you want to fly up, there's definitely tournament value there. Miles Turner at 7,200, I absolutely love that. At that sort of a salary, you should feel pretty good about Miles getting to 40 points, you know, blocking big amount of shots, having lots of offense, maybe upping his rebounds. Really like that to spend up on a center there. While Tim Mozgov at 3,900, yeah, there are better options out there. Definitely, we don't know how that center rotation's going to go down, so I'm not totally in on Mozzie at that sort of a salary. It is a good salary, but I'm not totally sold on him. If we look at DraftKings, it's just not as easy to find as much value. Yeah, Damari at 4,000, Rondé at 5,000. Yeah, they've got some upside there as tournament sort of guys. Jeremy Lin is at 6,300, probably a bit high. 66 for D'Angelo, probably a bit high. I love Miles at 7,700, but it's still not a totally strong situation, and it's definitely nowhere near as much value on DraftKings as is FanDuel. 48 for Lance, 68 for Oladipo. They're all okay, but they're not standing out like real, real great value plays, which is what's happening for them over on FanDuel. Let's move on to the next game now. We're going to talk about the Charlotte Hornets and the Detroit Pistons. Another game where there is value all over the place. The Pistons are favored by 3 and the total is 204 points. Jeremy Lamb is going to be good to go. We know that Nick Batum is out. We know that Michael Kidd-Gilchrist is out. So there are minutes there on the wing and there are opportunities for Lamb. The options that Steve Clifford has, he can start Marvin Williams at the 3 and move Frank Kaminsky to start at the 4. Or he can keep Marv at the 4 and start the Baconator. Dwayne Bacon there at the 3, which is what he did in preseason, and Bacon looked pretty good. So there are some options there for Clifford. Regardless, Bacon's going to play. Kaminsky's going to have an elevated role, as is Marv Williams, and Kemba Walker's going to have to shoulder a pretty significant offensive load along with Jeremy Lamb. Let's talk point guards in this one, and of course, we will start with Kemba Walker, who's a $7,600 player. I really like that. Again, the offensive load is going to be there. We're not penalizing guys for missed shots on FanDuel. So Kemba, you know, his chance to get 40 here, I think he's pretty high in this situation. And you know, Reggie Jackson, Ish Smith defense isn't going to be too much of an impediment to him putting up those numbers. So this is a pretty decent spot here for Kemba. I like that, especially if you need to spend up. Although there are some big money point guards that I do like, especially considering some of the cheap value in some of the other games. And spending up on point guard is a really good strategy on this slate of games. The Pistons point guards, Reggie Jackson's at 5,200 and Ish Smith is at 4,300. We don't know how that rotation's going to go. It could be a 28-20 split. It could be 24-24, and we don't know which direction it's going to split. So I'd look at Jackson and Smith as tournament players only. Ish is in an interesting situation at 4,300. It's much easier for him to reach value. He could come in, dish 7 assists off the bench, and that's 11 points for him right there. And he's getting close to value as it is and just needs to drop 10, 12 points and get 4 or 5 rebounds, and he's smashed through it. So I like him a bit more than Reggie, but they're both, to me, just GPP guys until we hear something more definitive from Van Gundy. The backup point guard situation in Charlotte, Michael Carter-Williams is out, so Julian Stone will get some of those minutes, but I imagine Malik Monk will get the bulk there, even though he is listed as a shooting guard. Let's talk about him. He is at 3,800. The upside is there. Love it as a tournament play in this particular situation. Avery Bradley at 5,300. It's really hard to envisage a situation where he doesn't beat that. Really like him as a strong guy that has got that option of 30 points pretty comfortably. And then we look at the other shooting guards, Trevion Graham and Malik Monk, who I already mentioned. At small forward, you have to love Lamb here, 3,500. If he doesn't get 20 points, he's not trying. He, to me, has to be almost the mainstay of every FanDuel lineup you're looking at. You love him at that value. We're talking about a bloke that can easily go for 8 to 10x in value here. We've seen him play quite well in preseason. He's a good rebounder. But even if he has a shit game, the minutes are going to be there because there's literally no one else. There's Monk. We're talking about two positions. There's Monk, there's Lamb, there's Bacon, and there's Graham and Marv. But there's minutes. He's going to get them, and he's going to produce at that price. He has to produce at that price. Stan Johnson at 3,900. Well, he's going to start. He should get 30 minutes. I'm not all that confident in his fantasy point producing ability, but you have to love that opportunity. 30 minutes at sub 4,000. It's an option. I would much rather take Lamb over him, but if you want to differentiate yourself in a tournament, Stan might be the way to go there at small forward. Some real value. 5,600 for Toby Harris. Maybe. It's not bad. It's not terrible. There is some value there, but I think there's better ways to go about it. Again, Lamb is a much stronger option. As for the Baconator, he is at $3,000, rock bottom pricing, minimum salary, real chance at 25 minutes here. So that puts him definitely in the GPP conversation. At power forward, we've got a couple of guys who are really intriguing. 4,400 for Frank the Tank. He played much better as a center last season rather than a power forward, so that makes me not want to use him really in cash, but I can see the tournament upside, especially if they start Marvin Williams at the three and Frank gets his 30 minutes. He does have that upside, but I'm not totally sold on that. Whereas Marv at 5,000, I think it's okay, but it's not something that's standing out as a good one to me. At center, Boban is at $3,000. Yeah, the Dwight Howard matchup didn't go well for him in preseason, but you have to look at him as a GPP guy. At 3,000, if he gets 18 minutes, he smashes through that. The problem is he might not even see the court, and we might see the tackle box, John Lua, and Anthony Tolliver play the bulk of those backup center minutes. That is a possibility. So don't be locked into Boban. I think he's more a tournament guy. Andre Drummond at 8,000. That's a lot of money. There are other centers that I prefer for that amount. Miles Turner, who's a little bit cheaper. Rudy Gobert, who's a bit more expensive. But I'm big on Drummond. I think he's going to have a big season. I'm just not fully into him at $8,000 here. There's Dwight Howard. There's Cody Zeller. I don't know how those minutes are going to go. Dwight's 66. Cody's at 5,000. There, neither of those guys are super appealing to me. All right, let's move on to the next game, which is the Philadelphia 76ers. Actually, no, let's go back and talk. Let's talk DraftKings prices for that Charlotte-Detroit game and see who stands out. Again, the pricing is much tighter. Stan Johnson is at 4,000. We compare him to Jeremy Lamb, who's at 5,700. Yeah, Johnson then becomes a more intriguing option, more of a GPP guy, but definitely has some value. I like Drummond a lot more on DraftKings at 7,600. Ish at 4,100 is also good, and Frank the Tank at 46 has some value there. Avery Bradley at 55 is strong, as is Kemba at 7,900, and of course I still like Dwayne Bacon and Malik Monk for their $3,000 and $3,700 prices respectively. Nothing much else stands out. Boban's at 37, that takes away a lot of his value in my opinion, and I won't really be looking too hard at the tackle box, John Lua. Now let's go to the next game, which is the Philadelphia 76ers and the Washington Wizards. We want to have a look at injuries here. Joel Embiid is listed as probable with a sprained left ankle, he'll be playing. Yeah, Jahlil Okafor is probable with an illness. He should be playing, but it doesn't really matter. He may or may not be in the rotation, and definitely, I would say, won't be in the rotation enough to have too much of an impact, especially with Amir Johnson around and Dario Saric playing some minutes at center. Look, Okafor could come out, but there is just a lot of uncertainty there for me to get too overly excited. As for Embiid, 16 minutes is what we're predicting for him. There's also talk that by January he's playing 32 minutes if everything goes well, but for now, the first couple of games, it's going to be really hard to play Embiid with those sort of minutes limits on him, at least for those first couple of games. Love John Wall here, 9,800. That's where you're spending up when you're saving your money on Lamb. 9,800 for John. Yeah, fantastic. Against his Philadelphia team, against Jared Bayless or Markel Fultz, he should have no problem getting to 50 points. Really think a big one is on the way here for Big Johnson Wall. Actually, that was his DraftKings price. I need to go back to his FanDuel price to give you that exact one. But regardless, he's still a value play over on FanDuel. He's at 10,000, so there is still some good numbers there for him. Markel Fultz, 4,500 off the bench. Don't know what his role is going to be. That's strictly a tournament play, but it's pretty low down on my list of guys that I want to throw out there. But Jared Bayless at 3,000. Now Jared Bayless probably isn't good, but again, a starting point guard at $3,000. It's really hard to ignore. Now, the reason you would ignore it is if you wanted to go hard on the big names and you put Lillard out there, or you put John Wall out there, or you put both of them out there because you've saved your money and you got that room by playing guys like Lamb or throwing the Baconator out there. But Bayless at 3,000 just looks like a no-brainer to reach value. It's going to be real tough for him not to. Other point guards, we've got Timmy Frazier, there's TJ McConnell. None of those guys are looking super appealing. Yeah, McConnell might find it hard to actually find himself in the rotation with Bayless starting and Fultz coming off the bench. At shooting guard, JJ Redick's at 4,400. I couldn't find a less interesting play if there was one. Sure, he might eke his way to that value. That's fine. I don't think he's got much chance of going over it. And there's a risk that he doesn't get there. I don't really like that. Brad Beal at 7,300. I feel pretty good about that one for Beal. I think that's a strong cash play with some tournament upside, probably less tournament upside than others, but that's some good value there. Where if you want to go off the board, Jody Meeks can do a Uncle P and come in and hit five triples and really exceed his $3,300 value. But of course, that's when you're throwing out 10 different tournament lineups and you want to go a little bit different because Meeks' ownership will be pretty low. Kelly Oubre at 3,300. There's no Markieff Morris. Jason Smith will likely start, but Oubre will probably play minutes in the high 20s. And at 3,300, yeah, him getting 20 points, it shouldn't feel like it's hard for him to do. So I do really like him if you're looking for another cheap option. Whereas Otto Porter at 58, yeah, I don't like that at all. That's way too high for Porter. Bob Covert, 6,400 is also too high, especially with the usage going to other guys like Bayless and Fultz and Saric and Embiid and Simmons as well. It's too high for Covington. I can't get behind that. Justin Anderson, yeah, don't even think he'll be in the rotation. Well, he might be in the rotation. Just not sure exactly how that'll work out. Power forward, it's the debut of Ben Simmons, 5,600 for him. I think that's reasonable. I think 5,600 for Ben Simmons is a reasonable price, and I do like him. Of course, he's a rookie, and we don't know how it's going to go down, so I'd probably more look at him as a tournament guy, but I like it. I think there is something to be said for using him. Amir Johnson at 32 is another power forward with Joel limited. Yeah, could Johnson come in and be that backup and play 24 minutes? If so, he smashes 3,200. There's a real chance of that, so I like him as a tournament type of guy, whereas Saric, I think he's got a great opportunity here, Dario, but at 5,500, that really sucks the life out of it, especially with so much other value around. Jason Smith is one of the better players on the board. Starting power forward, looked good in preseason, 3,900 for a starter. Again, sub 4,000 starters who are going to play decent minutes, they're real valuable, and Jason Smith should be one of those guys. It's a good situation, an up-tempo type of game in this one where the Wizards are favored by 7 and the total's 215.5. Yeah, I really like getting Jason Smith involved. At center, Yan Mahinmi's at 4,000. I don't feel good about that. Of course, I don't feel good about Marcin Gortat at 54 and Embiid at 7,500. Well, if you think he's going to exceed it in 16 minutes, which if there's anyone who can do it, it's Joel Embiid. I don't feel good about that, though. And Okafor at 46, I don't see the upside in using him in that situation. If we go to DraftKings, yeah, Smith is still a good value, 4,000. Bob Cove is much better on DraftKings, and I think he becomes a play option there, more tournaments, but has some cash value at 5,000. Brattles Beal at 7 is good. Johnny Wall at 98, I've already touched on. And Jared Bayless at 3,800 has some decent value. Oubre at 38 on DraftKings is also not a bad play. I'm probably not quite as good as what he is on FanDuel, but there is something to say about that. And 7,100 for Ben Simmons takes him out of consideration, as does the 6,100 for Markel Fultz. That's over on DraftKings. Let's go to the next game, Miami and Orlando, the Battle of Florida. The Heat are favored by 3, and the total is 205.5 points. Terrence Ross, he thinks that he's going to be ready to play in this game. He's currently listed as questionable. If he is out, John Simmons gets a significant boost here. Akaro White is questionable. AJ Hammonds is out, but those guys were unlikely to play anyway. We know that Scooter Magruder is out. He had his surgery today. We don't know when he'll be back. The Heat said they're going to have to put the handbrake on him because he's going to try and come back the fastest anyone has ever come back from this injury. You shouldn't be counting on Magruder, and you wouldn't have been doing it anyway, but he won't be back for quite a while. If we want to look at the value plays here, this is actually where am I? This is one of those games that there isn't quite as much value as that there is in some of the other ones around. There is still something to see here. John Simmons at 3,200 is a pretty impressive price, especially if Terrence Ross is out. He's been playing very well in preseason, so I'd probably use him regardless, but I do like him at that sort of a salary. Kelly Olynyk at 4,100, more of a tournament option, but he's got 28, 29 point upside given the way that he's played and the fact that he's likely to be the starter. And big Az Gordon, 6,300, smashing it in preseason. I think the upside at that price is a little bit limited, but again, if you're upgrading from a Jason Smith because you've got the extra cash, I'd feel pretty good about getting big Az in there. 6,500 for Lord Alfred Payton. There are better point guards out there at that, or better ways to spend your point guard money, but I wouldn't say that that's a complete waste, but Miami does have a pretty good defense. I'll probably steer clear of Payton in most cases. While Goran Dragic, the iron shoulder, is priced lower than Lord Alfred Payton on FanDuel. 6,400 for Dragic. Not much tournament upside, but I do think that there is some cash game play there for him. Tyler Johnson, where's he get the minutes? And people are like, oh, yeah, how's he going to play less than the 29 he played last year? My thing is, well, there's Josh Richardson. There is Deion Waiters. There's the iron shoulder. There's Justice Winslow, there's Tyler Johnson, there's Wayne Ellington. Now, Johnson, Ellington, and Winslow are probably going to be the backups there, but I just can't see a path for him to get 29 minutes a night, unless you're playing Richardson 27 minutes and Waiters 27 and Dragic 30. There's just not enough minutes for those. Or you're going to play James Johnson 24 or Kelly Olynyk 21 and play Winslow exclusively as a 4, and I just don't think that's what they're going to do. Maybe that's how it works. Maybe you see Olynyk at 20 minutes and Johnson at 27 and Winslow playing a lot of those minutes at the 4. But I'm just not certain that's the way it's going to go down with this team. Shooting guards, Joshy Richardson, 5,100. I love the tournament upside, but that minute squeeze does put him at a little bit of a risk to me, but I still like it at 51, whereas Deion Waiters at 52. Give me Richardson every day of the week over Waiters, especially with the increase in value in the steals and box categories in FanDuel for this season. So I like Joshy at that sort of a salary there. Terry Ross at 4,200. No, I think I'll be good with that. Small forward, I said John Simmons already putting up some big value there at 3,200. Really, really like that. Evan Fournier at 54. I don't really see any upside in him. And Justice Winslow at 46. He can dish the assists. We know that. But at 4,600, are you really going to be banking on Justice? I'd be looking at it as a GPP guy. Only power forward Olynyk at 41. I talked about that, and Aaron Gordon. I like those guys there already. And at center, Nick Vucevic, 7,200. I think that's just rock solid. I don't think there's much upside there, but I feel pretty good about him getting the 35 to 37 points that you probably need out of that position. Rock solid, decent cash game with limited tournament upside. Hassan Whiteside, on the other hand, 9,200. That's a pretty significant chunk of change to throw out on Whiteside, but he's been looking pretty good, and I don't think it's a bad move, but I would prefer guys like Miles Turner. I prefer guys like Rudy Gobert on this slate, but it's not completely turning me off using Hassan Whiteside. If we go over to DraftKings, there is a little bit of value on some of these guys. Vooch at 74 is good. Joshy Richardson's 4,900, so cheaper again. Olynyk at 48 is a tournament guy. Aaron Gordon at 6,900.
Giggity!
Is definitely a guy that's in play to me on both sides. Lord Alfred at 71, that's probably a bit high. Jim Johnson is the interesting one. Jim Johnson, he is down to 5,200 now. That is very, very low. And there is that concern with the minutes. But at 5,200 for a guy that was just routinely smashing in 35-point nights last season, there's a lot to like about that. Now, I don't feel confident. It's not really a great cash play, but I do like him as a tournament guy, especially against this Magic team. There is big, big upside for Jim, but only because of the way that salary looks. Hassan Whiteside at 84 is also a good play. over on DraftKings. All right, let's head now to the next game, which is, if I can bring it up on my screen, that'd be great. Milwaukee taking on the wounded Boston Celtics. The Celtics are favored by 5.5, and the total is 206.5. We know that Gordon Hayward will not be playing in this game. We don't know the status of Gershon Yabusele, who missed the last game with an illness. He is a chance to be a part of the rotation, as is Abdul Nader. We don't know how Brad Stevens is going to run that. He ran Shane Larkin in today's game as an extra guy there, pushing Terry Rozier up to the two a little bit for that period of time. And we saw Ogilvy play those first quarter minutes, but it's not going to have a massive DFS impact. Of course, the absence of Haywood does have a huge impact. At point guard, Marcus Smart's at 5,300. Let's go at it again. He scored 37 today. No problem putting him in there. Love him at that price. And Kyrie at 82. He's going to take shots. He's going to take more than he did today, probably. And 8,200 is a really, really good price for Kyrie. And that's another one of those high-priced point guards, which I think you should be building your lineup around. On the Bucks side, Malcolm Brogdon, 5,200. I'm not sure there's much upside in him, but I feel really bloody confident that he's going to get 25 points at 5,200. I feel good about that. Not as good as I feel about Marcus Smart at 5,300, or as good as I feel about Kyrie at 82, but Brogdon is an option, but he's not going to be the guy that I go with and go, I have to get Brogdon in there. Like, I'd much rather take Smart at that sort of a salary. Dellavedova, Larkin, no interest in them. Terry Rozier is an interesting one. He's at 3,100, just a smidge above the minimum price. Put up 25 today. A lot of that's fueled by the three steals that he got, so you can look at those, take 9 points away from that, and it doesn't look quite as sexy, but it's still pretty good, and if you take those three steals away, he still made his value at 3,100, and he's going to play 20-odd minutes in this one, so I'm okay with using Rozier, but again, I think point guards, actually, my mistake, yeah, Rozier is a shooting guard, so there is some use in him there. Jaylen Brown at 3,700, he's going to be so highly owned, and I think in cash you pretty much have to go there, and that enables you to go those high-priced point guards. Really going to be tough to go away from him. You might want to do it in a tournament, but he is going to be 70% owned, 80% owned, even with 11 games on at 3,700. That is a stupidly low price, and he scored 38 today. I wouldn't be expecting the same output, but I feel pretty good that he's going to exceed 20. I don't feel there's too much of a challenge there. Tone Snell's at 35. There are just way more options than that around. Jayce Tatum, 3,500. Again, smash the shit out of it. He had 30 points today at 3,500. He might not get to 30 points today again, but he's getting to 20. And at that price, you have to get him in there. Like, that is sensational value to get Tatum and Brown. And I'm going to have both of those guys in lineup, so I'm pretty sure right across the board. Chrissy Middleton's at 7,000. I think that's too high for Middleton. Look, he's got a chance to break it, but I think it's too high to really rely upon him in cash. Teletovic and Ogilvy, the other small forwards there, not a lot for me to like about them. At power forward, Yanni's at 10,200. You've saved your money by taking Tatum, by taking Brown, by taking Jared Bayless, by taking Jason Smith. So putting Yanni at 10,200 is a really good investment. You should feel good about him getting close to 50, and that's sort of what you want out of those high price guys, and get your massive value out of your other players. Really, really like Yanni at that price, and the other guys we've got is Yabusele and DJ Wilson, who won't trouble the scorers too much. Aaron Baines at 3,200. Well, he had 15 today, so your value's almost right there. Maybe against a team like the Bucks, who are going to play, I guess, more traditional in terms of centers with Munro and McCurr, even though McCurr's not really a traditional center. Maybe Baines, he gets a couple of extra ones there, but I don't think he's a high priority guy. There is something to be said there. While McCurr himself at 3,800, he could easily get through that, but it's more of a tournament guy. Al Horford at 7,200, better guys out there. Same with Greggy Munro at 56. And Munro's been putting up some good numbers last season, but at that price, the value proposition just doesn't seem fantastic there for Greggy. Over on DraftKings, it's a similar guys. Tatum, Brown, Smart all look fantastic. But Al Horford really jumps into the conversation on DraftKings at 6,200. That makes him a really interesting value center on a site where the pricing is a lot tougher than what is on FanDuel. You can get some value there. 85 for Kyrie is also something I like. 10-3 for Yanni, and 51 for Brogdon also has a nice ring of value. Middleton's a bit cheaper as well at 6,400. So you can have a look at him a little bit more, with a little bit more confidence, I guess, over on DraftKings versus FanDuel. Let's go to New Orleans now, taking on the Memphis Grizzlies. we have got the Memphis Grizzlies favored by 2.5 and a total of 204.5. Wayne Seldon for the Grizzlies has been ruled out. He was likely going to be the starter at this point. Well, not at this point. It's been announced that Andy Harrison will be the starter at shooting guard and Jim Ennis will be the starter at small forward with Chandler Parsons coming off the bench. Tyreke Evans is questionable with an ankle problem. Anthony Davis is probable with an illness. Tone Allen is probable with an ankle. And Alexei Ajinsa, along with Omer Asik, Rajon Rondo, and Solomon Hill and Frank Jackson, have all been ruled out for the New Orleans Pelicans. So, again, there is value aplenty in this game. Let's look at the point guards. Andy Harrison, 3,300. He is not very good, but he is the starting shooting guard. He can put up some okay numbers, and 20 points is far from a tough ask for a guy like Andy Harrison in this sort of a matchup. Yeah, all for it. I'm okay with using him there. I don't think his ownership will be that high. You want to look at another guy? Mario Chalmers, $3,000. With Tyreke potentially limited, Chalmers' value will go absolutely through the roof. He'll play alongside Conley. And to think that he won't get to 17 points or 18 points, it feels asinine that he won't get to that level. So I really like him there. And as for Conley, at 7,400, it is rock solid. He's got a real chance to smash through 40. He's going to have to do a lot for this team. I really like Conley at that price. And not as much as, say, Kyrie, Johnny Wall, Dame Lillard, who we'll talk about later, but I like Conley at that price quite a bit. Ian Clark at 3,000. I guess there's some upward mobility there for Clarkie in that role with Rondo out, but it'd strictly be a tournament-type situation. Shooting guards, Tyreke at 43. I'm not putting any trust in him at this point. And we've got Etuan Moore at 4,100, who's going to play some minutes, who's going to play decent chunk of minutes, but I'm just not sure that the numbers are necessarily going to be there for him. Jrue Holiday, you've also got listed as a shooting guard. He is at 6,900. With Rondo out, it's better for him, but we also saw him struggle at times alongside Cousins and Davis last season. So at 6,900, there are guys that I would prefer over him. Small forward, Jim Ennis, 3,200. Again, a starter, sub 3,500. You have to get Ennis involved here. He looked pretty good in preseason. Yeah, he's just another guy that's in your player pool pretty comfortably. Chandler Parsons at 34. Give me Ennis. $200 cheaper. Going to play more minutes. Yeah, Ennis all day. Dante Cunningham, Tone Allen, Dylan Brooks, Darius Miller. That's a whole bunch of yuck. They're all cheap, and you could look at them in GPPs, maybe Tone Allen, but I don't feel good about that. Cheick Diallo, minimum salary. He is their backup big. There is no other backup big on this team. If he gets 18 minutes, he can smash through $3,000. So if you're looking for a rock bottom minimum salary guy, and checks your guy at $3,000. Davis goes to the locker room, forget it. We're talking 25 points here from Diallo. So he's a really, really strong option. Jermichael Green at 47. I just think there's no upside in that price, so there's nothing for me there. Well, Davis at 10,800. If I'm spending up, I don't think it's going to be on Tone Davis. He comes in ill. I know how good he is, but in DFS, he's a struggle in cash games, especially with so many other options on the board. At center, Marc Gasol, 7,800. Much like Conley, he's going to have to do quite a bit, so I feel like he's a really reliable type of guy in this situation. Whereas if I'm going big again on the Pelicans, it's going to be Boog. 10,200 for DeMarcus. 60 points is legitimately in play here. Yes, Marc Gasol is a limiting factor. He is a really good defender, and he does cause Boogie some problems. But I do like Cousins, probably not as much as Gobert as a center or Miles Turner, but I do like him, especially if I'm picking between either Davis or Cousins. I would take Cousins just for that cheaper price and, I guess, limited or less risk of a locker room trip. Brandon Wright is a minimum salary guy for the Grizzlies, but I don't think that there's much to be overly excited about with him. Let's go to DraftKings and see where the value is. It's Ennis at 3,200, Andy Harrison at 36, Conley at 77 I like, Gasol as well, Etuan Moore, much cheaper on DraftKings, I think at 3,600, he definitely enters the picture, and Boogie at 10,000 is a solid option. Mario Chalmers is a little bit more value there, but not as good. Yeah, Davis I'm still a little bit out on, and Jrue Holiday's at $7,000, so not quite... Not quite there. Whereas Jrue Holiday at $7,000, higher than FanDuel, yeah, not working for me. You can find better options than Jrue Holiday on this slate of games. Atlanta taking on the Dallas Mavericks. Let's have a look at that one. We have got the Mavs favored by 6.5 and the lowest total of the day, 197 0.5 points. Josh McRoberts is out for Dallas. We know Seth Curry is out as well. And for Atlanta, Marco Bellinelli is probable, but that's not going to have too much of an impact on DFS. There is value, again, all over the place. What is FanDuel doing? Dennis Smith is 4,300. That is craziness. Now, again, one of the reasons you might not do that is because you want to go big at point guard, but maybe you can go Cousins and Antetokounmpo, and you can put Smith in at 4,300. That just seems crazy to me that he won't be able to exceed 4,300 in value. It seems bananas. His backcourt mate, Yogi Ferrell, is at 3,500. Like, shit, he is going to start in place of Seth, and even in 25 minutes, he should be able to smash through that. There is just value all over the place here. Even JJ Barea at a minimum salary. What if he gets 22 minutes and dishes 7 assists? At minimum salary, smash through. And a really interesting tournament alternative player. Dennis Schroeder, I normally like Schroeder, but at 7,500, there are just better options around, more value options around than Schroeder, so I probably won't be using him in this sort of a situation. Malcolm Delaney and Tyler Dorsey, yeah, cool. Shooting guards, Kent Bazemore, 4,900. I like that. I don't like Bazemore. I don't think he's that good, but this is an opportunity type game that we're playing here, and the opportunity is there for Kent. The other guy you might want to look at is a shooting guard. We know that Seth Curry is out. What if Devin Harris? He's a minimum salary guy. He's had some okay games. I'm not feeling fantastic about him, but you can't write him off. Small forwards. Or have we got DeAndre Bembry? Is a small forward. Taurean Prince, 3,400. Smash the shit out of it. It's better than using Ennis. It is crazy. That is just bananas as a price. Smash the absolute ever-loving shit out of Taurean Prince at 3,400. And I know you got Jason Tatum cheap as well, but man, you could have a starting small forward combination on FanDuel of Smith and Tatum, and it costs you less than $8,000, which is just, I can't put my head around it. There is, cash line might be 400 tomorrow on FanDuel. That's how crazy some of these prices are. Bembry's at 3,000. Wes Matthews at 52. Again, just better options all over the place. Power forward Johnny Collins at 3,700. He can put up numbers in a hurry, but the opportunity is that the risk here. So I'd look at him more as a tournament-y type of player. Well, Ersan at 51. Where's the upside? The pencil at 6,400. That's Harrison Barnes for you new listeners. 6,400. I know what Barnes can do. And I know that 6,400 is too expensive for him, so I'm not interested there with him. At center, Dewayne Dedmon. Talk about stupid. 3,600. What on earth is going on? 3,600 for Dewayne Dedmon. Give me 24 minutes and he beats that comfortably. He's a 25-point guy in that sort of a playing time. Just craziness. And again, maybe you want to go big at center with Boogie or with Gobert or with Whiteside or with Turner, but shit. Yeah, lineups with Dedmon at center, you can go bananas in some of these other positions. You can put Jim Harden in, you can put Yanni in, you can put Lillard in or Wall. Like, there's just the amount of value that's opened up to you with some of this pricing is crazy. I even like Dirk as a center. 5,400, I feel pretty good about Dirk getting to that number. He'll play 27 to 28. I like it. I don't know if there's much upside there, but I do like it. 57 for Nerlens Noel is one that I don't like. I feel like it's too high for him given his current situation. If you look on DraftKings, it's definitely not as much value there. 52 for Dirk is a nice one. 45 for Dedmon, it's not the 36 it is on FanDuel, but there is still some value there for Dwayne. Schroeder at 74, given the scoring system, it might be a little bit more in his favor. And Taurean Prince at 5,000. We're not stealing money by playing him on DraftKings, but there is still something to see there. 4,500 for Yogi Ferrell also has a nice ring to it, while Dennis Smith is at a more reasonably priced 6,800, and it's that reasonable that I'd say probably avoid that one in his NBA debut. You can probably do better than spending 60 out on Dennis Smith. You probably can't do better than the 43 on FanDuel. It is just craziness. So again, the value on FanDuel is going to be through the roof. Remember that. Don't be surprised if the cash line on DraftKings is 270 and it's 390 on FanDuel. That could legitimately be something that happens. All right, let's look at the next one. It's Denver at Utah. The Jazz are favored by 2, and somehow this has got a higher over-under than the Atlanta-Dallas game. The total is 206 points. In this one, Will Barton, after looking like he wasn't going to play and could be facing a significant injury, he's ready to go. No minutes restriction. He is right. Raul Neto is questionable for the Jazz. What that means is that Nate Walters, Steel and Mesh, will get some minutes there as the two-way guy, or you'll see more minutes from Donovan Mitchell, which is important to us. Farton, Will Barton, as for him, like him playing, it takes away a little bit of the upside from Wancho, but it takes a little bit away from the Blue Arrow, Jamal Murray, as well. Let's talk point guards, though. Speaking of the Blue Arrow, he's at 4,500. Not quite as sexy as Dennis Smith, but there is some upside there. I'd look at him more as a GPP guy, but I do like that. While ravishing Rick Rubio at 7,000, it's in that Schroeder mold. Well, I like it, but I'm not I'm not sold on. I think there's more risk than upside. So I could look at it as a tournament play, but it's definitely not one of the better ones on the board. Manny Moutier, 4,000. That's going to be a no from me. At shooting guard, Don Mitchell, 3,300. Let's go. Let's go with Donovan Mitchell, especially if Hull Neto is out. I'm all for that. I'm probably not cashing him in. There are some better guys out there, but I'm all for using that. Rocket Rodney Hood at 4,500. Yeah, I'm almost considering that a cash play, but not quite, just given some of his streakiness. But it's a really good price for a guy that's going to have usage that could exceed 30. Yeah, a good situation for him. Gaz Harris.
Nice, Gary!
He's at 5,400. I think you should feel really confident that he is going to reach that level pretty much all the time. I'm not sure if his upside is there, but he, in cash, that is as reliable as they come. Whereas for Farton Will Barton at 4,800, he'd be more of a tournament guy, but I don't love it at that, almost 5,000. I don't love it there for Barton. Alec Burks is also an option in a tournament only at minimum salary. Small forward Jinglin Joe at 3,800. His preseason has been uninspiring, so that would make him not a guy I want for cash, but I think there is something to say for a tournament. While Joe Johnson at 3,300, play some power forward minutes, play some of the three. I like Johnson there. I don't think that he's got much upside. I don't think he's got much tournament upside, but I do think that at that sort of price in a cash game, you should feel pretty good if it enables you to fit some other guys into your lineup. Wancho's at minimum salary. If Barton wasn't playing, I'd feel better about Wancho there. I'm not ready to go with him. Wilson Chandler, similarly. At power forward, we've got Derek Favors at 5,800. Too high. If he came in at 4,000, all over it. 5,800, not feeling it for Derek, sorry. While Paulie Millsap's at 8,000, again, just not feeling that for him at that sort of a salary. I feel like it's $500 to $1,000 too high for Millsap. Probably $1,000 too high. At center, Gobert, 8,100. In. I am in on this. It could be Turner. It could be Whiteside. There are centers all over the place. That's why guys like Drummond, who I go, yeah, I'm not sure, because I want to smash the shit out of Gobert in this one. That is a fantastic price for him. A great matchup. All in. And it's consequently why I'm out on Nikola Jokic. Now, you know what Jokic is.
Pretty good. It's pretty, 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 pretty good.
But he's $600 more expensive than Gobert, and he has to match up against Rudy Gobert, which is the shittest matchup for opposing centers. So I will let someone else take Jokic. He could go off. He could put up a 30-point triple-double. Ooh, I know that. But the situation is not looking fantastic for him in this game. You've got Mason Plumlee at 4,500, and probably shouldn't have mentioned Mason Plumlee's name. Let's move on to the next one, Minnesota and San Antonio. Actually, that's not true, because I didn't cover DraftKings for that game. I apologize. I'm just getting back into the swing of these daily podcasts. On DraftKings, Don Mitchell, 3,900. Love it. Gobert, 88. Yep. Jokic at 91. It's a no from me. Hood's at 5,800. That's way too high. Millsap at 72. That's intriguing to me. Millsap at 72. Gaz Harris at 57. I think they should be fairly interesting guys for cash. The Blue Arrow at 56. A little bit high, doesn't really appeal to me massively, while Farton Will Barton at 53 has a marginal level of appeal on DraftKings, but it's nothing spectacular. I like Rubio on DraftKings at 7,000. I think there is something there, especially with that tighter pricing. I talked about how I didn't like him on FanDuel because of the other great options around, but on DraftKings, it's not the case. So at 7,000, I feel pretty good about ravishing at that sort of salary. I think there's something to say there. In a high, against a team that's got piss-poor defense from a point guards, Rubio should be able to put up some decent numbers there against that Utah Jazz. We are getting towards the end here. We've got three games to go. The Timberwolves at the Spurs. The Spurs are favored by 1.5, and the total is 205.5. We know that Kawhi is out of this one. That's really the only injury of note, or the only injury we need to pay any attention to in this one. Tone Parker is out as well. Sorry. Let's go point guards. DeJounte Murray at 3,800. Probably going to start, but I think Millsy gets more of those minutes. Yeah, Murray had some interesting defensive performances in preseason. I'm not totally in on him here, though. I think he's a tournament guy, and that's about it. Pat Mills at 43, I'm more in on. I think that he's going to score. I think that he is worth a look at that sort of a price in both cash and GPP, whereas Jeff Teague at 7,300.
My name is Jeff.
Put him in the Schroeder category. Put him in the Rubio category. I just don't feel great about it at that salary. I think it's one of those ones that's priced too high on FanDuel, and there aren't many of those. At shooting guard, Dan Green at 4,100. He had his moments in the preseason, but we cannot rely on him for cash. I think he's a stretch as a tournament guy. And then you've got Wigo at 7,000. So it's not a bad price for Andrew Wiggins. I just don't think so. It's just not going to be for me at that sort of sort of a price tag. There's Brandon Paul, there's Jamal Crawford, and no. Kyle Anderson's an interesting one. Minimum salary. I know that he's probably burnt everybody before when he's been minimum salary and replacing Kawhi Leonard. That's why I think we look at him as a tournament guy, but he has the profile of a guy that can put up numbers. Like 20 points from him here shouldn't be a surprise. 17 shouldn't be a surprise. 8 shouldn't be a surprise. And that's why he is strictly a tournament guy, but another one of those high-value guys. Yeah, way behind Torrey and Prince, obviously. Way behind Jason Tatum. But a guy who can maybe differentiate himself with 2% ownership as opposed to Tatum's 80% ownership in a tournament situation. Jim Butler at 87, feel good about him getting 40 there. Rudy Gay at 55, feel pretty good about Rudy Gay. Like, I don't feel great about him from an Achilles recovery point of view, but I feel good about him getting that value back in a DFS situation. Shabazz Muhammad, Nemanja Bjelica, just not enough minutes for those guys. Power forward LaMarcus Aldridge, 7,000. I'm all over that. Aldridge is going to have to shoulder a big, big load here with Kawhi out. So at 7,000, lock me in, especially with the value in other spots. Taj Gibson is at 4,400, maybe, but no. And Gorgui Dieng at 4,800. That's a big, big no from me. At center, Pau Gasol's at 58. I hate that pricing for Pau. I will pass on him there. While Karl Anthony Towns at 10,000. Another center option, probably putting behind Gobert and Miles Turner and Boogie. But another one of those high-priced centers that when you've saved the money, or if you haven't gone the 3,600 on Dwayne Dedman, you know, Towns is going to get his 50. I think you should feel pretty good about that. But not my highest priority center. Joffrey Laverne, putting up good numbers in preseason. Lots of assists, 3,200. Hey, maybe you want to go a little bit sneaky. Don't. If you're going to sneaky, go Dedman. Yeah, I don't think Laverne's the guy, but a name to not 100% write off, which is not the highest of praise. We head to DraftKings. Yeah, Jeff Teague, the value for him is much better. 5,800 only. I really, really like that for Jeff. Kyle Anderson at 4,700. I hate that. Yeah, nowhere near the 3,000 on FanDuel. Townsie's at 94. Love it. 81 for Butler. Love it. 6,000 for Wiggins. Actually really like that as well. It's all about salary value ratio. And that's all those guys come in significantly cheaper on DraftKings than they do on FanDuel. DeJounte Murray, Pat Mills, they're higher on DraftKings than they are on FanDuel. So not really looking like great options. Whereas LaMarcus Aldridge at his 73. I still feel pretty good about him as a cash game play over on DK. Let's go to the next game, which is the second last game of the day, and that is the Houston Rockets and the Sacramento Kings. The Rockets obviously just coming off that last second victory against the Golden State Warriors. They're favored by 8, and we've got a big, big total of 218.5. Nene should be back for this one after missing today's game. Chris Paul could be limited. We saw him hobbled with his knee. Sacramento, we know that Bogdan Bogdanovic is out. We know that Zach Randolph is questionable with oral surgery, and Georgie Hill is probable with his groin issue. So if Zebo is out, you know, Scal Labissiere, Costa Kufos, Willie Cauley-Stein, all those guys get a pretty significant boost. And of course, if George Hill can't go, then we're really getting into De'Aaron Fox. With Bogdan out, Garrett Temple and Buddy Hield get boosts in their playing time. Let's start with the point guards. De'Aaron Fox is at 3,800 on FanDuel. More of a tournament-y type of guy, but got an opportunity to beat that, especially with Bogdan out, and they can play some George Hill at the two, so Fox is worth a look. As for Hill at 6,000, I don't feel great about him at that price, and Chris Paul at 88, I feel much worse about him at that sort of a salary. Shooting guard, Garrett Temple, minimum salary, could start. Yep, not a high-scoring guy, but at 3,000, he gets 3,000 worth of value pretty much every game, so I'm okay there with him. And Bud Hield at 46, you're really into him with Bogdan out. I don't think Bud Hield's that good, but I think at 4,600, he's going to see 30-plus minutes, and he's going to be able to put up those sort of numbers. We've got Jim Harden at 11,000. Not the best investment in your big money. I think that's better served on guys like Gobert and Lillard and Wall. But yeah, Harden was good today. He put up his numbers. Not loving him though at 11,000. Definitely not one of the best guys on the board to look at. But you might have that cash left over, and then in putting up with him, it's fine. Eric Gordon was a monster today. He's at 5,200. Probably unlikely to expect that again out of Gordo, but more of a tournament type of player. Small forwards, PJ Tucker, 3,900. Love him again. He probably won't do what he did today, but you know, loved him yesterday at that price. Love him again at this price. Trevor Ariza at 56 is not for me, nor is Vince Carter. At power forward, Zebo, 5,800. No, it's too high. I read somewhere today that Zach Randolph had one of the most efficient seasons of his career last season, and I almost spit on my computer screen because he was as inefficient as they come. I don't know. I don't know who wrote it. I don't know why they wrote it, but he was definitely not the most efficient season of his career last year. 5,800 is just not interesting at all. If he misses, Scal at 4,100, you have to get on Labissiere at that price, great opportunity for him in that situation. And Marmoutte at 3,200, hey, he played a lot of minutes and did okay today as a tournament guy, but I think we're going to see more of the big man, more Capella, more Nene, and that could limit Marmoutte. At center, 4,700 for Cauley Stein. I really, really like that price, especially with Randolph questionable. Yeah, get on him. I'm not fully confident in him for cash, but I'd love it for a tournament. As for Clint Capella at 6,000, more of a tournament guy. I think most people will be out on him, given what we saw from the Rockets and their rotation today. It might be a good way to go as contrarian in a tourney. 3,500 for Nene and 38 for Costa Kufos. It's not really doing it for me for either of those guys. Let's look on DraftKings where the value lies here. 38 for Temple, 51 for Heald, 55 for Georgie Hill. I think that's worth a look, definitely. 8,000 for Chris Paul. If only if you want to go contrarian and go against the grain in a tournament, that would be it. Willie's at 5,900, so that takes a little bit of the shine off him. And I like Capella again in that same sort of role, 5,800. Jim Harden's at 10,200, so he's a little bit more appealing over on DraftKings than what he is on FanDuel, whereas PJ Tucker at 35 is sensational value, in my opinion, over on DraftKings. All right, let's move now on to what is the last game of the night, and that is the Portland Trailblazers and the Phoenix Suns. The Blazers are favored by 1.5, and the total is the biggest of the night. It's 220 points. We know that CJ McCollum is out suspended. Shabazz Napier is going to play. There's a chance that he starts there as well. Alex Len is questionable for Phoenix, as is Jared Dudley. So that does put a few little spanners into the works. Let's talk about point guards. Napier at 3,000. If he gets the start, love it. If he plays 25 minutes at $3,000, yeah, fine. He can get assists. He's fine. Dame Lillard, 8,800 on FanDuel. It's a stupid price. He should be the number one guy to lock in. You've got those cheap guys everywhere. Lock him in. He's going to play a shit ton of minutes. He's going to roast this Phoenix defense. Load up on Lillard. This has got 70-point potential here for him. Just load up. Bledsoe at 7,500. Rubio, Schroeder is in that category. Much better options. You go big or you go cheap at point guard on this slate, in my opinion. And Tyler Ulis, not really. Shooting guard, Evan Turner at 48, maybe. Maybe he gets an extra bump with CJ out, so it'd be okay, but 48 feels a little high, whereas Devin Booker at 68, that feels a little bit high as well, so I'd restrict both of those guys to tournaments. Pat Connaughton or Troy Daniels, both minimum salary guys. Could Connaughton have an increased role with McCollum out? That's a possibility. Yeah, differentiate him into a tournament. Small forward, Joshie Jackson, 48. I actually like him at that price. I think there's definitely upside there for him. Or TJ Warren at 55 is probably one I'll leave for others. Same as Mo Harkless at 47. Power forward, Caleb Swanigan. Minimum salary. Does he start? I don't give a shit. That's value right there. He's going to rebound the ball. He's going to get that value at 3,000. All for it. Marquise Chris at 51. What's going on? I know foul trouble's a problem, but 5,100 for Marquise. I'm in. There's tons of value there. Aminu at 5,000. Bender at 3,000. Why do you want to get on Bender at 3,000? There's something there as a tournament guy. Centers, Alex Len, 3,500. Well, if he plays, I really like that, but he's questionable, and it is the last game of the night. So if you're not doing late swap, that's a really tough one. Nurkic at 75. Better centers out there, but it's far from a terrible play. But it's okay. And then you've got Tyson Chandler and Eddie Davis. Far from strong options. Though Chandler might become appealing if Len happens to be out. If we look over here on DraftKings for this game, Napier at 3,300 and Swanigan at 44. Nice cheap plays there. Lillard at 10,400. I'm still in on that, even though it is much more expensive. And 51 for Chris returns good value. Joshie Jackson, Yusuf Nurkic, decent value plays over on DraftKings as well. All right, that's all those games done. What I'm going to do now is I was going to have a look at the Aussie sites and give some value plays over on those sites, Moneyball and DraftStar, some of the guys that I really like on both of those sites. So I'll just bring that up on my screen now. We can talk about those guys over on Moneyball and DraftStar, and both of these sites have got tons of value appearing as well. So yeah, your Aussies, you're really going to have to. Yeah, not you're going to have to, but if you're looking to play, like there is tons and tons of value over on this slate of games. On both of those sites. All right, so if I just bring this up. No, that's not responding. Okay. On DraftStars. Kyle Anderson at 35. I'm just going to run through some guys I like. Tatum, Josh Jackson, Jaylen Brown, Rocket Rodney, Thad Young, Miles Turner, Jason Smith, Swanigan, Lamb, real strong option. Aaron Gordon I like a lot at 5,300. Benny Simmons at 55, Dedmon at 4,000, Smart at 52, Napier at 3,000, Lynn at 52, Joshy Richardson at 4,500. What is going on? Lance Stevenson at 4,000. Tons of cheap guys there. Yeah, Chrissy Middleton at 55 is a stupid strong play over on Moneyball. Dame Lillard at 10-1. Really like him as a high-priced anchor of your team. Drummond at 78 is strong as well. Yanni, 10-4. Another high-priced guy that you can feel pretty decent about. And John Wall at 10-2 is another good play over on Moneyball. If we want to have a look at what's happening on DraftStars, the value here. Tatum, Brown, Mitchell, Ferrell, all of these guys are looking at 4 to 5x in value based on their prices. Swanigan, Bayless, Josh Richardson, crazy value. Garrett Temple, Jeremy Lamb, Mario Chalmers, Jason Smith, Torian Prince, Ish Smith, Lillard, and Marcus Smart. All of these guys, I've got a crazy, crazy amount of value. You can see all this over on Basketball Monster with our projections, of course. There are so many guys to like. I like Harden as an $18,000 guy because you can just get so much value elsewhere, and $1,800 is not that expensive. Dedmon's at $8,750. Boogie's at $17,250. Conley, Butler, Harris, lots of value. Townsie's got a decent price as well. Over on DraftStars, you should be looking on DraftStars for that $100,000. You should be exceeding 300 points pretty comfortably with your numbers. And on Moneyball, you should be looking at 350, I reckon, with the sort of cash that's out there or the sort of value that is out there on those sites. We are done. The first day is in the books. Drama aplenty. Of course, that is the NBA's way to go. Subscribe to this podcast on Apple Podcasts, Google Play, TuneIn, and Stitcher, and of course, Spotify, and leave a review if you like the show. 5 stars is always a great way to go. And I forgot to mention this at the start. We have a new website. Of course, Basketball Monsters out there, but I do have a website where you can find all of the podcasts housed, and that is LockedOnFantasyBasketball.com. All the podcasts will be posted up there. And Adam King, the guy who started writing for me this year, he's going to be writing some articles over there. I won't be personally writing any articles. All my content goes on Basketball Monster for our subscribers. But Adam is going to be putting up some fantasy articles. So go and check out LockedOnFantasyBasketball.com. It's a part of FanRag Sports. So check out FanRag as well. And check out the LockedOnFantasyBasketball.com page. All right, we are done here, guys. Thank you so much for listening, everyone. See ya. Rudy Gay.